This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Polka music for this Fat Tuesday morning, February 9, 2016. Of course, those of us from Michigan are very familiar with Punchki Day because, especially in southeastern Michigan, in the enclave of Hamtramck, there are wonderful Polish bakeries, and they have done a very good job of making this wonderful pastry, the punchki, extremely popular all over Michigan and actually all over the Midwest, and it's catching on nationally, too, as well. I went to see my mom yesterday in rehab, and her roommate, her cute little roommate, is Polish, and her son had brought in some punchkis, and my mom was having a punchki yesterday, so I'm bringing her. She likes the custard one, so I went and grabbed some custard punchkis, and I'm bringing some to Rosie Posey later today. The Italians really don't have a tradition for Fat Tuesday. We do have St. Joseph's Day, which is early on in Lent, and we kind of break the fast a little bit with that because bread is such a big part of St. Joseph's Day, but most of the traditions really are either French or Cajun, of course, associated with New Orleans, or Polish-American, as we know. Now, today is also National Pizza Day and National Bagel Day and Punchki Day. So you could have, I don't know, the pizza as an appetizer, the bagel as your main dish, and the punchki as a dessert because it's Fat Tuesday, and that's allowed. Tomorrow, of course, is Ash Wednesday. And we begin fasting. We're also doing a special Lenten Mercy challenge that I put out yesterday. It's on my website, and it's also in the newsletter that I just sent out earlier. Today's Tuesday. I think we sent it out Sunday. Just giving you some ideas on how to, you know, use this beautiful period of Lent, again, which begins tomorrow, as a great time of fasting and growing closer to the Lord. And there's so much to think about in terms of what we can pray for during Lent, not only our own spiritual growth, but for the spiritual growth of others and all of the wounds that so many people are facing right now in our culture. So much to talk about this morning. Let's start with the weather, though. Actually, no, let's start with the rundown because we have a lot of interesting things coming up, so I do want to mention that. We are going to be talking with our friend Michael King from the wonderful Star of the Sea Parish in Grosse Pointe. They have some really neat events taking place, including an event that Deacon Dom and I are doing on Thursday night. And this is all about marriage. And by the way, this is National Marriage Week. And, of course, we have Valentine's Day. We have World Marriage Day. And so Michael and Joe over at Star of the Sea, of course, Joe Monte and Michael King, who do a lot of great work there, have asked Deacon Dom and I to really kind of kick off in some events that they're going to be doing. They really want to raise awareness on marriage, the church teaching on marriage. And so we're going to be doing our talk based on our book, Intimate Graces. And I'm also going to be sharing part of the Beloved series in which I was involved, and I do my whole thing as spaghetti sauce. Marriage is like spaghetti sauce, and it ties in, of course, with mercy in marriage. Yes, mercy and spaghetti sauce are tied together, especially if you're an Italian-American. So Michael King joins us, but there's also some other neat events coming up at Star of the Sea. So if you're on the east side, if you live on the east side, or if you are traveling by the east side, you may want to check it out. We'll give you all the details in terms of how to get the information. And speaking of marriage, Bill May from the Marriage Movement is going to be joining us. This is, as I said, Marriage Week, National Marriage Week. And then we have Valentine's, of course, on Sunday, actually on this Sunday, February 14th. And then we also have, at the same time, World Marriage Day. And so what his Marriage Reality Movement is doing, in addition to celebrating National Marriage Week and World Marriage Day, they're really conducting an educational campaign to reintroduce marriage in the sense of how do we reintroduce it to the world, because we've lost the language aspect of it. We really have. The other side of this issue has won in terms of totally twisting and giving people a whole different meaning of marriage. So we have to take it back. What can we do differently and better to make that happen? So we'll be talking with Bill May from the Marriage Reality Movement, and that will be later on in the National Hour. And then we're also going to be talking with our friend Steve Wright. Big news out of the Middle East, and Steve is all over this, and he actually sent me an email when he was still in Israel, that officials have now declared a particular spot along the Jordan as the actual baptismal site of the Lord. And Steve has been taking groups there for a couple of years, moving them away from the other spot that had turned into a very commercial area. There was a huge, lovely store, a Christian store with all kinds of items, which is fine. I mean, you always find that in different places where the holy sites are. It was along the Jordan, so technically you could say you were in the Jordan, right? And we know that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. But this, they believe, because of various research that they've done and archaeological digs and whatnot, that this is the official, or the closest thing to the official baptism site of the Lord. Now, both Pope Francis and Benedict XVI have visited this new site, this newer site, newer in terms of recognition, not newer in terms of the actual location. But really cool stuff that Steve has uncovered, and he's going to share that with us in our National Hour. And Steve and I are going to be announcing also that we are going to be taking a group to Israel next year. Of course, he goes all the time. I try to go every other year with him. I've been so busy the last 2 years with books and speaking and my own pilgrimages that I haven't had a chance to go back. But I really, 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 really miss the Holy Land. I want to go back so badly. So we will be heading to Israel with Steve next June of 2017. And Steve and I will talk about that this morning. So that's our program for today. Michael Caine from Star of the Sea. Bill May from the Marriage Movement talking about World Marriage Day, Valentine's Day, Marriage Week, and reintroducing marriage. And then Steve Ray on the site of the baptism of our Lord, of course, in Jordan. All of that plus you on a Tuesday morning, Fat Tuesday, Punchki Day, National Pizza Day, and National Bagel Day, all rolled into one. All right, let's take a look at the forecast right now and see what's happening in terms of the weather. It's pretty outside. It's a little snowy, and Andrew told me that the roads were pretty messy, and not too bad on the east side, though, heading out. The weather is going to be a lot cooler and more like early February. We've been very, very blessed with mild weather so far. I mean, it's not going to be all that bad. It's just going to be back to normal temperatures. Let's start up in Traverse City. You're going to have some light snow, and it's going to be a high of 26. That's for today. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high of only 15, so very, very cold. Thursday, snow showers, a chance of lingering snow showers later, a high of 18. And then on Friday, occasional snow showers. And again, very cold all week long in northern lower Michigan, with highs not getting, maybe up to 20 if you're lucky. All right, let's go over to Saginaw, Bay City, and Flint. Snow transitioning to snow showers later in the day, high around 30 degrees. And then tomorrow, cloudy, a few flurries or snow showers possible, a high of 20. And on Thursday, cloudy skies and a high of 23. More clouds and sun on Friday, a few flurries and a high of only 23. For the central Michigan area, including Lansing, clouds, snow showers, high near 30. Tomorrow you're going to have clouds and a high of only 21. On Thursday, a mixture of clouds and sun. No heavy snow predicted, though, and a high of 24. On Friday, cloudy, a few flurries or snow showers possible. And again, very cold, a high around 25. All right, if we go over to the western part of the state, snow showers, a high of 28. That's for today. Tomorrow, intermittent light snow and snow showers, a high of only 20. On Thursday, cloudy, snow showers, a high of 22. And on Friday, little bit warmer, not much, a high in the mid-20s with snow showers mainly during the morning. For southeastern Michigan, including Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, and Washtenaw County, snow showers today. And we are going to see still, well, not too bad in terms of the temperature categories, a high in the low to mid-30s. And tomorrow night, cloudy, a few flurries or snow showers possible, a high of 25. Thursday, partly cloudy skies during the morning, and then it will become overcast. And then we are going to have, we'll see a high of around 23 degrees. Moving in on Friday, a few flurries or snow showers possible, and a high of 28 degrees. Very similar forecast also for northwestern Ohio. So that's our forecast for our area. And I hope you're having a good Fat Tuesday so far. It is Tuesday, February 9th, 2016. Right now, we do need to check the news and see what's happening in and around our world. Mm-hmm. Well, an Indiana anti-discrimination bill failed in the state Senate there because it would have proved disastrous for religious freedom. That's what some legal experts are saying. The Senate Bill 344 died because, according to Roger Severino, the director of the DeVos Center for Religious and Society at the Heritage Foundation, it was a major threat to freedom of religion and conscience. He said when you elevate sexual orientation and gender identity to the same status as race, mainstream religious beliefs about sexual identity are then labeled as discriminatory. The broad anti-discrimination bill introduced in the state Senate in January prohibited discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or active duty military service in areas such as housing, employment, and education. Republicans in the Senate killed the bill last week, citing strong disapproval from citizens on both sides of the debate. According to Severino, the bill would have elevated sexual orientation to a protected class under the state's civil rights laws, such as race. He said that anti-discrimination bill with the focus on sexual orientation and gender identity end up discriminating against the faith of business owners. He said those would be the victims of those laws, and religious liberty and freedom of conscience would be the losers. Businesses, by the way, he said, could face discrimination lawsuits for many infractions. And it's also saying that owners could not serve a same-sex wedding because of their religious beliefs. If they choose to do that, they could then face a lawsuit. Well, more folks in El Paso, Texas will have a chance to see the Pope's February 17th Mass in person. The Catholic Diocese of El Paso is getting 10,000 tickets, twice as many as originally expected. Diocesan officials say most of the tickets are for the Pope's Mass at the old Juarez Fairgrounds, though some will still be for other events. Catholic churches in the El Paso area began distributing the tickets over the weekend. Well, the voting, of course, is about to get underway across New Hampshire, but very early results are in from the three tiny towns that voted overnight in the first-in-the-nation primary. Ohio Governor John Kasich was the winner on the Republican side with three votes to Donald Trump's two. Democrats gave the win to Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who bested Hillary Clinton 4-0. Meanwhile, the Ohio governor telling ABC's Good Morning America that he's excited about how his campaign has laid a ground game in that state.
Last night, we were out there in a driving snowstorm, probably 300-400 people standing out there cheering. It was like a movie set. I mean, I wish I could have taken and just, I could make a movie out of this.
And Kasich says he adds that he loves being looked at as an underdog in the race. Meanwhile, one political expert says today's New Hampshire primary will be the ultimate test for Donald Trump's campaign.
This is really the test for the Trump candidacy. All of the hype, all of the attention, all of his lead in the polls, now it is time to put up or shut up. Can he follow through on all of the promise of his campaign?
That's Dr. Sean Foreman of Berry University, who says Trump's on-the-ground organization will decide whether his strong poll numbers translate to actual votes. The real estate mogul was beaten at the Iowa caucuses by Texas Senator Ted Cruz's strong ground game. Today's primary will also show if Marco Rubio was able to capture the momentum from his third-place finish in Iowa. Meantime, New Hampshire will be a make-or-break state for John Kasich, Chris Christie, and Jeb Bush. In fact, Dr. Foreman says this could be a last stand for the former Florida governor. Meanwhile, on the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders holds a wide lead over Hillary Clinton. A proposal to recall Michigan Governor Rick Snyder from office could be on the ballot for a vote this year. Warren Consolidated Schools Board of Education member Ben Lazarus says a petition he submitted over a schools issue was part of a larger problem with the governor.
This has everything to do with the children of Flint, with the children in Detroit public schools and all around this state that are being affected by this broad overreach of executive power.
The Board of State Canvassers found errors in 9 petitions pertaining to Flint, but allowed one to go forward over a transfer of the school reform office to an official under Snyder's control. A vote would be forced if just over 789,000 valid signatures are collected. Names must be gathered over a 60-day window within the 180-day span that the petition is active. Meanwhile, a family in Flint is suing local and state governments because of increased levels of lead in their daughter's blood. Luke Wade says 2-year-old Sophie has gone through behavioral and a number of different developmental complications since the municipal water source was changed.
She's very irritable, and it seems like she's suffering from like a stress.
He and his wife claim in the litigation filed yesterday in federal court that Sophia tested normally at the age of 6 months, but the level of lead a year later exceeded the toxic standard. He added that bottled water was used in the home sometime after they became concerned about the color of the city's water and its smell. The family has retained attorneys from Detroit and New York for their representation. The wife of a senior ISIS leader is now being charged in connection with the death of kidnapped American aid worker Kyla Mueller. The Justice Department says a 25-year-old Iraqi woman conspired with others to provide support to ISIS, which resulted in the death of Mueller in February of last year. She and her husband, Abu Sayyaf, are accused of holding Mueller and other captives against their wills. She is currently in Iraqi custody and could face life in prison if she is convicted. President Obama will send his annual budget proposal to Congress.
We're certainly going to lay out tomorrow a coherent, prioritized budget that reflects the need to expand economic opportunity for everybody in the United States, as well as the need to keep the American people safe.
That's White House spokesman Josh Earnest saying congressional Republicans are expected to give the Obama budget a chilly reception. They've already rejected proposals that leaked earlier involving a $10 per barrel tax on oil that most economists say will lead to higher gas prices. The president wants to use the money to help pay for transportation projects and investments in clean energy. Well, contact information for 20,000 FBI workers is now public. This after hackers made good on a big threat. They published the FBI staffers' names, titles, phone numbers, and email addresses yesterday afternoon, the same group publishing similar information on Homeland Security Department workers on Sunday. The hackers claiming in a tweet that they received the information by breaching a Justice Department database. They bragged on Twitter that dropping information on Homeland Security and FBI workers is all they came to do. They signed off the tweet with Free Palestine, the hashtag Free Palestine. The Justice Department is investigating the incident. And people all over the country will be gathering today to celebrate Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday. Bobby Menino of Mardi Gras New Orleans says a holiday is really a family event, despite some common misconceptions.
People might have a misconception about Mardi Gras, thinking it's the French Quarter and maybe girls going wild on the balconies kind of thing. And that's not what Mardi Gras is about. Mardi Gras is truly a family event.
And she says there will be plenty of festivities happening in the hub for Mardi Gras celebrations in New Orleans. She says the biggest part of the celebration is the elaborate floats that parade through the city. And she also adds that one of the lesser-known traditions is the king cake. Now, that's a cake with a small plastic baby hidden in them that people share with their families or coworkers. The idea is that if you get the piece of the cake with a little baby in it, you buy the next king cake. She also says that people always want to know how many people head to New Orleans for the event. But because Mardi Gras is free, there is no official count of participants. And finally, as in our news segment at 8:18 on a Tuesday morning, not too much celebration going on a particular cruise ship. As Scott Pringle reports, a ship that suffered major damage in a major storm off the East Coast is now returning to its port in New Jersey.
Passengers aboard Royal Caribbean's Anthem of the Seas were confined to their cabin Sunday as they posted pictures of giant waves. The storm tossed around furniture, broke glass, and reportedly injured four people. Now, the cruise line tells USA Today extreme wind and sea conditions were unexpected. A buoy in the Atlantic is said to have registered 30-foot waves. Now, one passenger tweeted, "Not sure if this captain is the best for getting us through it or the worst for getting us into it." This is one of the world's biggest cruise ships. It had left Saturday for a week-long cruise to Florida and the Bahamas. Scott Pringle, New Jersey.
It's just about 8:19. It's a Tuesday morning, February 9, 2016. Our phone number is 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Do you know that this is National Marriage Week? Valentine's Day is coming up. World Marriage Day being celebrated in the church on Sunday. Michael King will be talking about that and other events related to marriage and some other great catechetical programs going on at Star of the Sea Parish at the bottom of the hour. Star of the Sea, by the way, is on the east side in Grosse Pointe Woods in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Bill May with the Marriage Movement, speaking of marriage, joining us at 9:15, helping us reclaim marriage by reintroducing it to our culture. And then we wrap up a Tuesday morning with Steve Ray, of course. Steve is with his own wonderful company. CatholicConvert.com is his website, but he does all kinds of trips. He's an author. He's a speaker. Has a terrific video series in the Footprints of God. You know him well from Catholic Radio, from Ave Maria Radio, and EW10, and, of course, all his amazing pilgrimages. And Steve is going to be talking about some big news that just came out of the Middle East regarding the official baptismal site of the Lord. I've been there. He's been there. And you can go there, too. Steve and I are actually taking a trip to Israel together again next June. Steve goes all the time. I think he's been to Israel over 100 times. He goes 3 or 4 times a year at least. I try to join him every other year, as I said at the top of the hour, and I think we're finally going to get back together to do a trip in June of 2017. That's our program. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned.
Nationally known speaker Jason Everett will offer 2 powerful talks entitled Love or Lust for teens, young adults, and parents. They'll be on Thursday, February 11th at St. Joseph Church in Lake Orion, and on Friday, February 12th at St. Paul Albanian Church in Rochester Hills. Both start at 7 p.m. Through Jason, you'll learn the difference between love and lust, get straight answers about dating, and know the truth about God's plan for their sexuality. Both events are free. For more information, visit stjoello.org.
I'd like to recommend my dentist, Dr. Maddie, and his practice, Advanced Dentistry. When I needed a new dentist, I remembered I'd been hearing about him for years on Ave Maria Radio. I had recommendations from friends, but decided if Dr. Maddie supports Catholic Radio, he must share my Catholic values, and I wanted to support him. Dr. Maddie's degree is from Tufts University. Dr. Maddie really has a state-of-the-art, full-service dental practice, and I know he specializes in dental implants. I'm very happy with his caring, patient, professional service, and also the results of my Invisalign braces, which he provided. Dr. Maddie works with me to keep my costs low rather than have to carry dental insurance. Try Advanced Dentistry. I know you'll like Dr. Maddie very much. That's why I offered this, my personal testimony.
Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Have you lost a loved one? Do you have questions regarding estate settlement? How are my taxes, estate plan, and investment plan affected by the loss of a loved one? How will my Social Security be affected? And will I have enough income to maintain my standard of living? To answer these questions and for assistance in all estate settlement matters, contact the experts at Michigan Retirement Specialist, 313-2-RETIRE. Again, 313-2-RETIRE.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Taking heat from Hillary Clinton for being so pro-life, Marco Rubio found an easy time turning tables. While Rubio admits opposing even very early abortions, he points out that Clinton is the abortion extremist. She wants abortions up to a child's birthday, paid for by you and me, something a vast majority of Americans find unconscionable. Abortion advocates are trying to connect pro-life laws with a big taxpayer burden from increasing pregnancies. Looking at recent studies and their allegations, Dr. Michael New points out at Life News that at least 3 key components are missing in those allegations. Despite rhetoric to the contrary, there is no evidence of Medicaid abortions on the increase. Data is missing on unintended pregnancies, and most conjectures are projections based on 39 cases from one county in Texas. This is Life News Radio.
Here is a riddle for you. What is the one failure that comes before every elective abortion? It is a failure on the part of 2 people, a man and a woman, to understand their true vocation, their true calling by God as to how they should use their entire life for Him and for others. So pray for an end to abortion. But pray also that human souls would find their true and holy vocation.
In other headlines, Washington state legislators want to make the Evergreen State the 8th to ban sex selection abortions. Citing a growth in the practice in the U.S., Spokane Senator Mike Padden says the practice is the true war on women. And Colorado wants to be the 5th state to legalize assisted suicide. Pro-life advocates say the practice makes the elderly particularly vulnerable. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Welcome back. It's 8:25. It is a Tuesday morning, February 9th. It's Fat Tuesday, the day before Lent begins. And We remember when, of course, we go through the services on Ash Wednesday and receive the ashes, that this is an opportunity for us to come back to the basics and start all over again and to receive God's mercy every single day. And the Pope made some beautiful comments actually this morning when he was speaking with confessors. And this is as part of the event that's going on in Rome in terms of the relics of St. Padre Pio and St. Leo. And there's all kinds of events surrounding the relics that are going on in Rome. And so this morning he's in the Vatican and he is actually talking to the Capuchins and telling them to be very, very aware that the fact of sin is the key to mercy. Now, what does that mean? This is what I talked about actually on Saturday to the ladies at the Women in the New Evangelization Conference, that there is no real mercy without truth, and that mercy is a process. Mercy is a conversion process. We don't need mercy if we haven't done anything wrong. And if we come to the Lord in the confessional with a heart that is open to receiving forgiveness, recognizing that we're all sinners, and that's where the process begins. And the Holy Father talked about that again this morning at the Vatican. Pope Francis, the principal celebrant in a Mass offered for the worldwide Capuchin community at St. Peter's, the Mass offered in connection with the presence in Rome and at St. Peter's are the relics of two great Capuchin saints who were known as priests and confessors, St. Padre Pio, as he's popularly known, or St. Pius of Petrolicina, and also St. Leo or St. Leopold. He said, "I speak to you as a brother," said Francis to the Capuchins, "and through you I would like to speak to all confessors, especially in the year of mercy. The confessional is for pardon, and even if you cannot give absolution, let me say hypothetically, please do not beat up on the penitent. One who comes to the confessional comes seeking comfort, pardon, peace in his soul. Let him find a father who embraces him and says, 'God loves you,' and make the penitent feel that God really does." He went on to express a desire to see confessors everywhere with broad minds and open hearts who never tire of being vehicles of divine pardon and who understand, and this is key, and who understand the suffering of penitents because they know themselves to be sinners and the first to be in need of God's saving mercy, which is why they're in the confessional in the first place. So what the Holy Father is telling confessors is that these people are coming for confession, then there's obviously a recognition that something has to get right with God. Something in them has to get right with God, that things aren't right, so therefore they need the sacrament of reconciliation. And he said, either you perform the office of Jesus who forgives, giving his whole life in prayer, so many hours there in the confessional, seated are those two, St. Pius and St. Leopold, or you perform the office of the devil who condemns, who accuses. He says, I can tell you nothing else. Now, the Holy Father is not saying that you, as a priest, as a confessor, he's not saying that we just say, oh, no big deal, go on and live your life however you want. What he's saying is that people are broken, and if they're coming to the confessional, they're recognizing their brokenness. And they're coming for mercy, for God's saving mercy. But the world has a much different view of mercy. As I explained to the ladies on Saturday, the world says mercy is all of us jumping into the free for our pool and doing whatever we want. Because God loves us and he's going to forgive us anyway, so what's the big deal? That's not mercy. Mercy is a process. Mercy is recognizing that we need mercy in the first place because we are not all that in a bag of chips, and we have made some mistakes. So I think this is a beautiful reflection as we move into Ash Wednesday, into this beautiful liturgical season of Lent, to remember the real meaning of mercy. Coming to God with a contrite heart, knowing that we need mercy and are so in need of his forgiveness and love. It's 8:30, it's a Tuesday, and we'll be right back.
I call in love, I call in mercy. I call him out of my darkness and pain, and he answers my need. I call in love, I call in healing. He is the one who has filled me with hope and restored life to me.
St. Paul at the Cross Retreat Center in Detroit is offering some excellent Lenten programs. A midweek day of recollection will be held on Wednesdays, February 10th, 24th, and March 9th. A married couples weekend retreat is on February 12th to the 14th, and a four-week Sunday series, Explore Your Prayer, runs from February 28th to March 20th. For more information, please call Lynette at 313-286-2800 or visit stpaulretreat.org.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
If you've ever tried to assemble something complicated without an instruction manual, you probably experience some frustration. Wouldn't it be nice if we had an instruction manual for life? Great news, we do! It's called the Bible. God in His infinite love has provided us with His Word. To quote St. Paul, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Paul wrote this to Timothy, who was facing struggles in his life. It shows God cares enough to give us the instruction manual we need for ourselves. Let us pray that when we face the challenges of life, we remember to go to God's Word in the Bible. There, the Spirit can lead us into His answers and provide guidance for our daily needs. Visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or on our website, cbsmich.org.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Our archive talk this week is by author and conference speaker Steve Ray.
How then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way? In other words, I've chosen this from the beginning. It's prophesied in the Old Testament. I struggled and wept drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, resolving this in my human will that I was going to do this. I'm resolved. I could call 72,000 angels at this moment and wipe Jerusalem off the map. Pontius Pilate says, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or let you go? Jesus knew He had no such power.
The pain, the agony, the self-sacrifice of Himself on the cross for us. For our Easter program, Steve Ray orally demonstrates for us the physical aspects of the agony Christ went through to redeem us from our sins. Join us Sunday afternoons at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
Old St. Patrick's Catholic Church on Whitmore Lake Road in Ann Arbor has been serving fresh, beer-battered Alaskan pollock on Fridays in Lent for over 30 years. We know how to make delicious fish and chips, and we'll tell you it's the best. But you don't have to take our word for it. Come on in and try it for yourself. We offer three choices of potatoes, or, if you like, mac and cheese. Graze at our salad bar. Don't forget your dinner roll, beverages, and even pie. Come on by and bring your family and friends to this beautiful place in the country, just north of Ann Arbor. While you're there, you can stop by our historic church and spend some time with the Lord, talking and listening to Him, or join us for the Stations of the Cross later in the evening. You can find out more information and directions at our website, www.stpatrickA2.org. That's www.stpatrick, the letter A, the number 2, .org, and we'll save a plate for you.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. It is a Tuesday morning, February 9th. Fat Tuesday, as a matter of fact. And looking forward to being at Star of the Sea later in the week. And on the phone with me is a friend, Michael King, from Star of the Sea, who works, does such a great job in working on religious ed and formation and all the great programs that they have at Star. Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you doing, Teresa?
Good. Do you have your punchkis yet?
You know what? I did not. You know, I don't really get into the whole Fat Tuesday thing, you know. I don't know why. I just feel like I'm just focused on celebrating Lent and praying with my family. And
good for you.
You know, Yeah, I don't really do
that. One punch key won't hurt anybody. It's also National Pizza Day and National Bagel Day, so you can have your pick. There you go.
You know what was interesting is I heard this morning they were doing the Gloria on Ave Maria, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's right. That's the last time we really get to do that at church.
That's right.
And that kind of struck me as well, so I was excited about that. Yeah.
It's a beautiful time in the Catholic world. Well, every day is, but I love our liturgical seasons. It really just, I think, is a beautiful cycle in which to be connected with the Lord. Now, speaking of which, this is all culminating. What we're doing on Thursday night, it's National Marriage Week, we've got World Marriage Day, we've got Valentine's Day, so the timing is very good. Let's talk about your parish's mindset in terms of kicking off, because this is starting a series of teachings on marriage, correct?
Yeah, really, it's a whole marriage ministry of marriage and family. So our hope was to bring you in, because you're going to be awesome and kick this all off and inspire
from
everybody.
From your lips to God's ears, my friend.
That's right. So we thought we'd do that, and it just really works out wonderfully with this week being about marriage. And your book, I find to be extremely awesome. You know, I think... Yeah, you know, because sometimes we talk about, you know, works of mercy, and it just kind of be these things that people, oh, what are these things? We don't really know what they are. And you've really, in so many ways, made something that's kind of abstract and taken it to, like, a beautiful way of seeing how they work in marriage. And there was one area in particular in your book I was really moved by, this whole clothing the naked. And, you know, normally we think that's just, you know, right, people who don't have something, we're going to give them something. But you make the point in the book to say how Dominic's love was able to clothe you in a way that brought your marriage back together. If it wasn't for that kind of act in marriage, you would have been divorced or something like that.
Right.
And I think, wow, what a powerful example of how mercy and love in marriage can just fit so wonderfully with, like, what the church has described and all these beautiful things. So I think your book's going to be a wonderful asset to those who come and want to read and experience that. And then hopefully when they're inspired to look more deeply into marriage, and that's our goal, is to have, from now on, to have things throughout the year for marriage and couples to kind of come together, learn who they are in Christ, understand their vocation, and just get supercharged about their marriage and how much they love each other.
And even if, and we'll have the books there for sale, obviously, but even if they don't buy the book, we're going to wrap up with a little homework assignment for the couples who are there Thursday night and getting them to think about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy a little bit differently this Lent and to think about applying them directly to marriage and to pick one. To pick one and think about your spouse and, you know, think about what we've discussed. We'll go through a few of them in the talk and how you can apply one of those works of mercy to your relationship.
And that's fantastic. And I think that if couples, seriously, if you really, like, this book is a wonderful opportunity to rethink what your marriage is all about. And so many of us don't understand what it is, don't understand this vocation, this gift of the sacramental life that we've been called into and equipped through the grace of the church to live and to really provide a personal witness to the entire world of what God is doing all the time. And that's the thing that blows me away, is the more I study it, the more I learn about it, the more I get excited about it, the more I want to love my wife, you know, and just pour myself out into her. And it's just such a beautiful thing to live that way instead of just, you know, having a marriage and maybe you're getting a tax write-off or something. I don't know what people are doing, but it's such a different way to live life, and it's so deep and rich, and we miss it all the time.
I was talking with Ken Castell yesterday of Couple Prayer, and Dominic and I are going to be speaking at Couple Prayer tonight at 7:30, but we hope people come at 7 o'clock for the whole program because it's all about praying with Scripture. But we were talking about how most of us walk through life, if we're in a marriage, not really understanding how incredible it can be and thinking, okay, well, we've got the kids, we've got the house, we've got the jobs, and this is fine, yeah, but not really having that relationship that God intended.
Yeah, it's a big blank. It's like I guess we just haven't been told or haven't been shown, which is so ironic to me because the Mass is like a wedding. You know, the whole marriage language in Scripture was all about the bride and the bridegroom. So to actually come to Mass is to experience this wedding where, you know, I've said, well, you get out in the aisle and you walk towards the bride and you receive them, and it's an intimate union, and that it should set us off on how we're supposed to live for one another. There's a document in the church that explains how Christ, through his incarnation, assumes this human love and purifies it, so much so that the couples can live out this faith, hope, and charity. And it says this is so perfected so that the church, the capital C church, in order to fully understand her mystery, looks to the Christian family, which manifests her in a real way. And that just blows my mind, because when you think about how the church looks to us to understand this lived experience, and that's really our vocation and life in the world as a married couple. And it's just awesome and beautiful. And I think the more people start to understand that, you start to get rid of these silly arguments about, you know, what is marriage and all these kinds of things. You look at what mm-hmm. this is, and you understand completely what the beauty really is all about.
Yeah. So give us the rundown, the housekeeping details for Thursday evening for the presentation at Star of the Sea.
Yeah, so we're going to start at 6:30, so get there a little bit early so we can kind of hang out and meet one another and get situated. Your talk will start at 6:30, go to like 7:30, and then from like 7:30 to 8, we'll have you set up in the gathering area so you can meet people, some sign some books, and have more conversation. We'll have a little bit of snacks and food. And then ultimately, what we want to do is have a sort of sign-up sheet. So if you're there and you want more, we have a couple events coming up. So the first thing we're going to do is use your book at our parish to kind of bring couples together and do a book review of some of those awesome chapters that you have. And that'll be the kickoff. And we're going to have a bunch of things planned. So if this is really exciting for people, they can come down there and just know that there's information and help and mentoring between couples about how to grow and how to support one another. So that's the plan.
So you really want to do this. I know in speaking with you and Joe Monte, you're really seeing this as part of a ministry. This is a kickoff to really get people, not only in your parish, but anyone who wants to come, to really embrace this whole idea of the church teaching on marriage and the covenant of marriage.
Absolutely. Just it's funny because we've been talking about this, Joe and I, and just within the parish for a few years now. And I've been invited to be part of the synod process, so we've been working on this whole family and with domestic churches, and all this stuff keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. And even with the fact that this is, National Marriage Week, I think everything is coming together at a really good time in God's will to just launch something that can be profound and important. And I think the Spirit's ready, the stars are sort of lining up, and I think it's really exciting to sort of just see what God wants to do. You know, put Him out there, let Him, do what He wants to do in everyone's heart, and we'll just do our work to kind of bring those together to provide the opportunities, and that's what we want to do from here until, whenever, to the end of time if we can, and just provide
right.
insight to marriage and love and what God really wants for families.
But this is a really big deal for couples to come together, period, whether they're using our book, whether they're using Beloved series, whatever they're using Symbolon, if they're coming together as husband and wife, sitting down and talking about their relationship is huge because we're so busy, we don't do it, we just expect the marriage to go along. This is huge.
I totally agree. And, it's one of the things that I've been noticing even with my own marriage is so often we feel like we have our jobs and our life, and then we try to fit church in there and this faith stuff when we can. And really the truth is it should be the opposite way around. The faith and the beauty of who we are and our own identity is the key to everything else. And then we should be plugging in, how does work fit? How do these other things fit into this faith experience that I have? Marriage and this life needs to be the center of who you are so that you can experience the joy and abundance of life, not so much your work and the monies. Because those are the things that distract us and pull us apart and all these kinds of things. And I find that in some ways that's even the field, the working field, the vineyard, if you will, where we can discover more about ourselves and our marriages. So take that and very important part of just the love of Christ and who you are and in terms of abandoning yourself in love and then work in your everyday life to sort of bring that grace over. It's a flip of everything that we're used to kind of experiencing.
Mm-hmm. And to me, it's amazing if you look at the prep that people go through. For example, and we'll talk about this on Thursday, my husband is an engineer, and so all the prep and all the schooling he had to go through, and then he had to take his PE, and then he has to keep up on certain, educational aspects and go to more classes. The diaconate was 5 years, and then he has to go through spiritual direction, still has a spiritual director, still has to go through, continued spiritual direction and other types of training and to be a deacon, which is, it's not an easy thing. And yet we go to marriage, and we have, maybe if we're lucky, a weekend of classes or a couple of weeks, and we're, sent off into the sunset to build the most important thing in the world, and that's a family.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And it's like, where do we start? It's funny, we were at our meeting last night, our core team meeting, and so we started talking about all these ideas, and it's so where do we start? Because we know there's like healing. There's a tremendous amount of healing that needs to take place in the family. There's an amount of education. There's a spiritual growth. There's an understanding of sacramental life. All these things, like, where do you even start with? But I think fundamentally it's just with the heart. Just know who you are and understand how much God loves you. Make that connection back to Mass. My goodness, if we could just understand that we are truly Sunday people, and if we come there and understand the community and the marriage that takes place there, we can start to understand ourselves more deeply and then depend on the grace, the sanctifying grace, to change us, to help us live the life. That reminds me of something else that you had in your book. There was one place where Dominic was talking about how he didn't know how to love you, and he had to depend on God to help him understand how to love you. What an amazing idea to look
don't
at our
figure,
spouses,
right? Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't got this figured out. Maybe God can help me understand. And it wasn't just like, you know, when everything is falling apart, how do I deal with this? It was like, show me how to love her. Like, because you're love, and let me experience how you see her in me and I in her, and how do we do this? That is awesome. That's exactly the way marriage should be and love should be. And it's just so wonderful you guys are bringing that up. And I think it's just more talk like this that'll change the hearts of people and marriages.
Well, I wish I could take Dominic and I could take credit for the idea for the book, but we can't because we had a wonderful editor, Heidi Hess-Saxton, who approached us over two years ago with this idea. And Michael, we never even thought about applying the corporal and spiritual works of mercy in marriage. And then when she highlighted it for us and said, what do you think? And I said, wow, I never thought of it, but it makes perfect sense. And so, you know, we work through it all, and it's just it really is, I think, a beautiful way. And I think it's a non-threatening way, too, to approach this if you want to get closer to your spouse.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even the concept of mercy, even though we're in the year of mercy, is kind of missed on people. You know, Robert Barron said that, you know, mercy is what love looks like to a sinner. And I think that's a powerful way of understanding what, because God's not mercy. God is love. You know, and so for us that are broken, we share mercy because, you know, you're patient and you're kind and you're willing to sacrifice yourself. So even getting to the point where, like you say, the mercy is just an easy way to enter into of self-sacrifice. We just sometimes, I think, are afraid because we're going to lose ourselves or lose the things that we think are important. And so we realize that really loving each other is the most important thing that we could ever do.
Amen. We're chatting with Michael King from Star of the Sea Parish on the east side in the Archdiocese of Detroit in Grosse Pointe Woods. And Dominic and I will be there giving our talk based on our book, Intimate Graces. But there's all kinds of other great activities going on at Star, and we'll touch upon those when we come back. If you have a question for Michael King, 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. This is National Marriage Week, Valentine's Day coming up, and we're also celebrating, of course, on Sunday, World Marriage Day. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned.
This is Reno Frazetta with Smart Money Financial Advisors. Let me share with you a funny little secret. When I was in high school many moons ago, my extracurricular activity was spending time with the local brokerage, learning about investing in the financial markets. Now, as corny as that sounds, although I didn't spend all of my time there, that truly was my first passion. And over the years, I've seen and experienced many successes, and also some pretty hard lessons. Today, the work I do for my clients is the beneficial outcome of all that experience. My clients rely on me to help them make good choices and avoid mistakes. Now, unfortunately, my services aren't for everyone, but if you're willing to pay a bit more for an experienced, trusted, and dedicated financial advisor, then let's have a conversation. Call my office for a free consultation at 248-468-4401. That's 248-468-4401.
Advisory services offered through Prosperity Capital Advisors, a registered investment advisor.
The Michigan Catholic Young Adult Conference offers a wonderful opportunity for Catholic young adults ages 18 to 35 to gather from throughout the state. This year's conference will be held on April 1st and 2nd at St. John Newman in Canton, featuring Jack Jezreel from Just Faith Ministries addressing radical mercy. To register, go to aod.org/MICYAC or call 313-237-4647.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Having a blessed Tuesday morning. It's February 9th, 2016. It's the one, the only Catholic Connection produced by the one, the only Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. You can find us both online. Check out our really cool website. Al's got some great videos on AveMariaRadio.net, and we have great articles and information on how to help you grow in your faith AveMariaRadio.net, and, of course, also EWTN.com. And speaking of helping you grow, one of the big things we do, especially on Catholic Connection, is talk about events going on in our community. And whether you're in the Archdiocese of Detroit, the Diocese of Toledo, Gaylord, Grand Rapids, Lansing, Saginaw, Marquette, we want to hear from you. And that's one of the reasons we're chatting with our friend Michael King from Star of the Sea Parish this morning, which is on the east side. And we're friendly in these parts. Trust me. It's a very, very nice area right by Lake St. Clair, beautiful parish and quite a large parish. And Michael, have you found that more people, because you guys are doing a lot in the area of evangelization and outreach, it's not just Star of the Sea parishioners coming to these various events?
Oh, no, people are hopping around all over the place. It's been really fantastic because even we've collaborated in the last, 3 years or so with all the parishes around here doing prayer teams, hospitality. We've shared things like Christ Life together. We've had people come over. We've trained. We've worked with each other. When there's retreats, we've had shared facilities. I mean, it's been amazing how the collaboration has grown.
Awesome. Okay, so another big event, which is so wonderful and such a great evangelization tool, especially during Lent leading up to Easter, the beautiful production, our friend Kelly Nito of The Cross and the Light. They're doing things a little bit differently this time around, right?
Yes, she's always improving and adding things to her show, whether it's the performers or just trying to make it better. You know, her and I had a discussion about a few weeks ago, and just her desire to add more of the kerygma, this very fundamental gospel teaching, to her show, to really draw people in, to really situate them when they come in, to know that this show is about you. The story about that brokenness inside of you, that thing that you feel incomplete, that longing you have, this is the guy that's going to satisfy that. That's the reason you feel it, is because we've gotten away. And he's come to reunite us. And then, boom, the show starts, you know, and then you're drawn into this story. And then even at the end, there's time for prayer. I mean, if you want to change your life and give your life over to Christ, you can do it right there, whether it's the first time or the fifth time or the hundredth time. You could do it right there with real prayer people. We'll probably have reconciliation on one night. I mean, it's just totally different than just going to see a show.
In terms of getting there and the actual dates and tickets, there's also a different setup, correct?
Absolutely. So this year, we had it last year, and it was wonderful because it was a new time when Kelly put in the projection and all those kinds of things, but there were still ticket selling in that process. This year, we had some people from actually, and talk about collaboration, from St. Paul, who really loved the show and wanted to put it on, and they asked us if we would host it. And they had put some money on the table to do that. So then things started to kind of spin to potentially that this could be free. The shows themselves cost about $32,000 to bring in, and it's a huge, you know, undertaking to kind of, you know, have that kind of money to apply that kind of thing. And so that started, this whole donation started to go on, and then Monsignor Gary here was really interested in collaborating with the other parishes and wondered if could we do something completely unique and get people on board. He started to make some phone calls. He started talking to the pastors, and within a week or two, because this thing all happened like in a matter of like 3 weeks, he had this thing just about paid for. The parishes around here, Joan of Arc, St. Paul's, St. Clair's, St. Lucie's, their pastors all worked together. They put money from their parishes in. There were parishioners and friends who donated money. So within a matter of weeks, this thing pretty much got paid for. And
wow.
It was awesome, because then the evangelization takes a whole new tack. Now we can go to people and say, it doesn't matter if you can afford or not. Just come. No matter
who
you are, what
parish,
just come. Just come. Anybody. So the goal for us in terms of evangelization is to really reach out to people in our parish who don't normally get recognized or get the kind of tap on the shoulder like, hey, we care about you. Would you like to come and just see what's doing? And then we can move that out even to our Protestant brothers and sisters and anybody who would like to come, just to come and experience Christ.
Beautiful. All right. So we'll have you on again when we get close to the actual dates for the Cross and Light. But how soon is that around the corner, Michael?
It is around the corner. It's in March. It's March 10th, 11th, and 12th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And they all start at 8 o'clock, and you can go on our website or call to get tickets right now.
All right, so give us a website for STAR.
It's www.olsos.org.
Okay, which is Our Lady, STAR of the Sea. And the phone, main phone number?
Is 313-884-5554.
5554. Michael, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you, God willing, Thursday evening for our Intimate Graces talk. And again, Deacon Dom and I will be there at 6:30. It runs until 8, and then Cross in the Light coming up in early March, and many other wonderful activities. And they're also going to be doing a study group for married couples after our talk, you know, moving through Lent. And Michael will be happy to answer any questions on that as well. Thanks, Michael, and we'll see you Thursday, God willing.
Okay. God bless you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Michael King from Star of the Sea Parish. Also want to remind you that this evening, if you did not hear Ken Castell on the program from Couple Prayer, Deacon Dom and I are going to be doing a short presentation this evening at Couple Prayer. And it will be, as I mentioned, at Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish, and that is in Plymouth. And what we're doing is we are making an effort to build on what they're doing in this particular aspect of the program, which they're in now, praying with Scripture. And actually, that's how Dominic and I came back to the church, praying with Scripture through a Bible study. And so we're going to give examples of how we pray together. We're going to bring the tools, including the Word Among Us and Magnificat and some other tools that we use to pray together as a couple. And we'll be giving an example of how to pray together as a couple if you've never done that before. So they're opening it up this evening. Specifically, even if you're not involved in the Couple Prayer Series, to come and see, much like, of course, what they're doing at Star of the Sea, come and see what this is all about. And you'll get information about the Couple Prayer Series if you want to join one, which will be, there'll be another one, I think, in Brighton pretty soon, and then there's others in the Archdiocese of Detroit. But we'll be there tonight, and we'll be speaking at 7:30, but they're encouraging you to get there when the program begins, which is at 7, because they don't want people walking in the middle of the different presentations. We'll have Intimate Graces for sale there this evening, and we're looking forward to seeing folks and talking about prayer in our lives and helping other couples do the same. Coming up in the National Hour, Bill May, speaking of marriage, helping us reintroduce and reclaim marriage in the culture. He's with the Marriage Movement. And then we will wrap up on a Tuesday morning with Steve Ray on some exciting news on the baptismal spot of our Lord along the Jordan. Steve Ray has all the details, and we will hear them coming up next. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial, as we say in Radioland. We will be right back on a Tuesday morning.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Luke 5, Jesus invites Peter, weary from a night of fruitless fishing, back out onto the Sea of Galilee to cast his nets one more time and trust Jesus for the results. To cast into the deep is to let go of our own opinions, desires, and the way things or people should be. To cast into the deep, even where we have already fished with no results, is to let go of independence, autonomy, and self-determination. The sooner we realize that our Beloved is holding us in His hands, the sooner we can get about the business of doing our Father's will. The sooner we will become disciples. Proverbs sums up this great secret lesson learned by the saints. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. Let go and trust the Lord to direct your activities and your life. He knows what He's doing.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord, our relationship to the church, the precepts of the church.